Welcome back to the Millennial Lawyer Podcast. I am your co-host, Brendan Bald. I'm here with mi hermano, Brad Bald. Brad, say what's up to the people.
What's up, guys? We got a special one for you today.
We got a real special one. This is a dual podcast. We're linking up with Corkscrews and Contracts. We're here with Jennifer and Wyatt, two realtors here in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're doing a dual podcast. Super excited to bring this one to you guys. Brad, what's the topic about today?
Today, we're all talking about millennials and home buying.
What kind of houses, what kind of things are you noticing as far as buyers and apparently our age group?
So the first thing that I notice is there is a lot of hesitation, you know, for millennials out there looking to buy a home. And I think, you know, personally from living in Nashville, it's just the appeal of all these sexy apartment complexes opening up left and right. Even the apartment complex we're in now, it's awesome. I mean, with the convenience of maintenance, with the pool, with the workout gym, we walk everywhere. You know, I'm right across from the street from you guys and we walk 10 minutes and we're downtown. We go to Midtown, we're right in Demumbrian. I mean, it's just the convenience that people, you know, are so intrigued about that they figure they're going to be paying this monthly non-committal rent a year. You know, they may sign a year lease agreement or maybe 15 months, and it's very non-committal, and they get to live in a great location with, you know, maintenance included. If the dishwasher or the washer and dryer goes out, what do? They call the maintenance guy, comes up, replaces it within 24 hours. Yeah. And I think that's just convenience, and that's what I notice right away. What about you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Convenience. You know, it's amazing to be able to leave things at downstairs at a concierge or just at the
Huge.
Leasing office.
Yeah.
And then, it, you know, you're like, oh, somebody just dropped me off something, you know,
right?
I can get that in the house. I never have to think about if Amazon's going to get it to me because there's someone here 24 hours a day.
100%.
And I think we live in a world that's we stay very busy right now. So if you don't have to take care of stuff, it helps.
For sure.
It frees you up to do fun or have fun adventures.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about, you know, people who are not only graduating college with student debt, but they're graduating grad school, law school. I mean, you know, med school with this tremendous debt. What makes them decide, all right, well, I think it's a good idea to get more in debt to buy a home? You know, sure, people are telling them, like, the market's great right now. But why would they, in that point, decide that they would want to, you know, continue to be in debt, you know, if they're just suckered into it in their mid to late 20s? I mean, millennials of all ages.
Well, I think millennials by reputation are wild cards. I mean, I'm a case in point. Do one thing, you do another thing, you try many, many different things. Millennials want to feel like at any given moment they could quit their job and do something else. They think the fact of having a giant mortgage hanging over your head prevents you from doing that. Gets rid of that flexibility, gets rid of that freedom. And that's why some millennials, I think, hesitate to get into home buying. They'd rather live that city lifestyle, be flexible, be able to get out of a lease, downsize, upsize, doesn't really matter. You don't want to be tied down for a 30-year mortgage.
Right.
I think that's what keeps a lot of people away.
I mean, you're on a month-to-month right now.
Yeah, I'm month-to-month. But I'm on the far end of the spectrum. I need to be as flexible as possible considering my recent transition into acting. But other people,
yes,
I think some people who live in the same way, they're doing something that they're not entirely happy about. They have other dreams, have other ambitions. They don't want to get locked down because they're not as comfortable in what they're doing. So they have a lot of anxiety and stress and confusion about maybe purchasing a house.
I just renewed my lease, and the thought of being, it felt like I was going to be trapped.
Yeah.
Right.
For another 12 to 14 months. And I'm
right.
like, I don't know how I feel about that. So I feel that, you know, just off of a rental
right.
versus a purchase.
Yeah. Flip the switch on that. As you guys know, I recently purchased a home within the last couple of weeks. So I'm very, very excited. And we toured and Brendan showed. It's in the nation Charlotte Park area. It's in new construction. So it's going to be closing in January. So I'm going to be moving in. And I just recently designed all the interior furnishings because it's all custom. So I'm really, really excited about that. But, you know, I've already been at my apartment complex for, I think, my third year. I think it ends at the end of this year. But I felt comfortable that it was time. Like, I'm walking to work right now. Yeah, that's tough to leave behind, just the convenience factor. But I just feel in the mindset that I've been through the Demumbra and I've been through the Midtown, that I'm ready for that next step. So I feel like a lot of millennials, you know, when they're making that step, you know, for new couples, newly engaged couples, newly married couples, you know, they're taking that next step and buying. Yeah, they might not be buying in the immediate core of Nashville because of, you know, money purposes. They might be buying out a little bit, but it's that change in circumstances.
Well, and I worked with a newlywed, or they were engaged, mm-hmm. engaged couple, and they didn't realize how easy it was to buy a house. So when I talked to them, they ended up purchasing and they love where they live. And her now husband, he's now become like a gardener and he wants to know all about the plants and he wants to fix up the backyard. And one day he wants to buy land.
Yeah. So
it snowballed and now he's looking for the future and having more than just the mm-hmm. house they bought now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a big thing for, I guess, sell for cities like Nashville is as the days go by, your house is just appreciating and appreciating and appreciating. Mm-hmm. So even if you do have that wild card spirit, you can buy a house and 6 months later sell it for a profit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have the experience selling these things. So I would think, considering how the market is now and how it's going, how it's looking, you can alleviate some anxiety from your clients just by telling them that and showing them some market reports, I would think.
I was reading A Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Gary Keller.
Yeah.
For the third time. Yeah, yeah. Last night.
Oh, I need to read that book.
It's a big blue book.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. It's got.
Depends. Hmm? It comes in red as well. I got it. I can give it to you.
Oh, it does come in red? Okay. I thought the red was for real estate agents.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. Never mind. Yeah. Scratch that.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Blue's my favorite color. Well, so I picked books. It off the shelf.
Yeah.
So. In it, he talks about, you know, Federal Reserve statistics that say that the median net worth of a renter over time was something like, in the 90s and then in the early 2000s, something like $6,000 versus a homeowner, which was $120,000.
Wow.
So when you think about that investment for someone and the fact that they are forced to save money over time by putting it into a mortgage,
yeah,
the result is really pretty incredible.
Oh, for
sure. And if you don't know that, then you can keep renting for the mm-hmm. freedom of it.
Right.
But then in 10 years, you go, I haven't saved a thing.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
So I was shocked because I didn't know it was that stark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with somebody that's buying a home, when do you guys get in the conversation of talking about using it maybe in the next 3 to 5 years as investment property? Because, you know, if you're talking about a millennial that's going to buy a home, that a single guy or a single woman buys a home, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years? They could end up buying, you know, a home with a picket fence and a yard. So, you know, when do you guys get in the conversation of talking about, all right, well, you can use the next one or the first one as investment property? You know, when does that conversation start?
I think it depends on the buyer and if they're ready to hear that. If they're already, you know, nervous about buying the home, you know, it just depends on where they're at mentally.
Right.
If they're open to hearing that.
Yeah.
So sometimes if they're nervous about it, it might be a good idea to have that conversation. Like, you're not stuck here. You can always rent this home out.
Right.
You know, if it's something where I worked with millennials looking for their forever home.
Yeah.
So if that's the mindset, you probably don't want to have that conversation with them. So just
yeah.
depends.
Yeah.
Do you think millennials are more high maintenance than other demographics in terms of what they're looking for in their homes?
That's a good question.
They're looking for a $300,000 home, but they want all the bells and whistles, but you can't get that.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. I'm not even a realtor.
I do have to have that conversation pretty often, you know.
Yeah.
People, even when they build their home, they're only 80% pleased with what they've built.
Mm-hmm.
That's a success story, is if you love your home 80%.
Yeah.
So you're not going to find that 100 perfect home.
I just I literally just watched a video and read an article on that same exact topic. And that's, I mean, but people need to realize that, because a lot of people go into home buying, and like, I need to find my dream home. I have to absolutely love it and love everything about it. But that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta love it a little bit. And then in that extra 10-20%, it'll come later, or, you know, it'll come in time, or you'll realize after a while that you may want to transfer that to investment property. I think it's a time process thing.
And you may realize a lot of things that you didn't know going into the situation, where you go, oh, I didn't know that I wanted a pantry.
Yeah.
A walk-in pantry?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
kind of like this.
Take things from off of the floor now and put them on the shelf. How exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure.
A lot of people, we were talking to our interior designer friend a couple of weeks ago, and the comment was, you know, with this open concept thing, people mm-hmm. are going, well, where do I put my furniture? Because now there's no wall to slide the couch against.
Yeah.
Maybe there's no distance between the kitchen and the television
right
now. So you have to go, oh, okay, well, if I want open concept, do I also want to keep the whole house clean time?
Yeah.
That's something to think about when you're speaking to a client and they're like, oh, I want what I see on HGTV.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And people, our age, we've seen perfection on television for years and years. Mm-hmm. Nobody starts with a starter home on TV.
Oh, no. It's the most glorious, sexy, right on the water, with the balcony views of the city. I mean,
I read that millennials want to skip the starter home completely. Wow. And jump to their main family home. Mm-hmm. They don't want a home that they're just going to grind in for 5 to 10 years and then upgrade. They want that upgrade as 26-year-old, 25-year-old, which just goes to the same point if they have high standards and they're a little bit entitled, if you will.
Was that a jab at us? The millennials, right?
It hurts.
You got to be able to take it from yourself if you're going to take it from anybody else.
And he is like the youngest millennial in the room, for the record.
Boy!
And I don't know about you guys, but I feel this need or urge to do everything quickly because I'll be too old to enjoy it if I wait too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I felt. I was like, now's kind of the time. I hate to be... to say I'm influenced by my friends and social media, but I kind of am a little bit. I see other people buying and I'm in the real estate industry and I see people closing day in and day out. And I'm talking to you guys, I'm talking to other realtors and investors that are talking about the profitability of, buying a home now in this market that's still thriving. Yeah. So I was like, I don't want to, a little bit of FOMO. It's like, I don't want to miss out. Yeah. I had my lease ending now. I was like, this is the right time. So I think definitely.
Or you feel like you're too late. You're already behind.
Yeah. Like I got to catch up a little bit. Yeah, right?
I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago, a multimillionaire, like tens. And he goes, hey, once you get through whatever it is that I was doing at the time, he said, okay, now the best way to get to where I am is don't go out buying consumer goods. Don't go do the stupid thing and buy a new Porsche. Whatever.
Because that's going to depreciate.
Yeah. And I was like, but I want to do those things. I felt super crushed at the time.
Yeah.
Like how, well, you can, why do I have to delay? Yeah. Like I won't be cool for my friends if I don't have those things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary now that I think about it.
Right.
Because there's a lot of us with that mentality.
Yeah, for sure.
Took him 2 days to recover from that conversation.
Oh, I know. Oh, I bet.
Days.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
The cereal wasn't the same anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know all you guys are technically in the millennial age group. Question for you. Have you found in your experience that millennial homebuyers prefer to work with millennial realtors, millennial loan officers, and millennial title officers?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they not care? Because obviously, as realtors, you're usually the first step in a home buyer's journey, unless they're getting pre-approved before they're even seeing you. So do you like passing your clients off to people who are your age, who you think your client is going to get along with? Or have you found that that's just kind of a non-issue for millennial buyers?
I've found that they will reach out to someone that is like them in age, maybe location or history that they've known for a while. And then if they need someone different, then they don't, the next handoff doesn't matter.
Right.
So it's like, Wyatt, can you help me buy a house? Great. I'm moving across the country. Can you assist me with that? Or maybe I need a title attorney.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it could be someone like the one, you do, or it could be someone that's, three times their age, mm-hmm. but at least they started out with someone that's close to them.
Exactly.
One thing I found when referring is like, when it comes to referring to Brad, they're like, oh, his office is on Music Row? Yeah, I want to close it. Like, it's the thought of closing on Music Row.
Exactly.
Or, so it's the hip thing to do almost.
Right.
I think it does also go back to people work with people they like, know, and trust. So, we do attract people that like us because we're probably around the same age or have something in common.
Exactly.
So I think it's harder to say because as far as we're younger, so we're working with younger people too right now.
Right.
That's why I think social media is so important for people in the real estate business. That's why real estate agents blow up social media feeds.
They're the best
thing about
at
it. And I have this conversation with a lot of my friends. I said, if I was going to buy a house right now, who am I going to call? Probably the person who's top of mind, mm-hmm. who's blowing up my feed, who I'm friends with on social media. Oh, that, so it's you. So it's you. Because I mean, think about it.
But that's true. Though.
You could find probably 5, 10, 15 friends who probably, if you dug really deep in your brain, you could find them as real estate agents. But who are you going to go to? It's a person who you know is working. They're posting on social media that they're working. They're grinding. They're in front of your face all the time. Borderline annoying some of the times. But that's kind of what you got to do. But I think that's a huge thing. A lot of times with title companies, and Brad knows this, and I know this, having worked in a title company, home buyers most of the time could care less who they're closing with.
Yeah.
It's the trust that the realtors have in the referral to the title company that gets in there, and then they don't care.
It just adds to the experience. Yeah. That's literally like
it's the icing on the cake.
Yeah, and that's why we pride ourselves on that closing table. And you know, you harped on being on Music Row. I mean, you walk into, I mean, we're a boutique sports and entertainment firm, and we work with a lot of musicians and artist clients, and you see that. And you see that modern vibe in our office, and we have the champagne, and we have the wine, and we have the music. And you know, Jennifer and I are both, you know, quote unquote millennials, so we create that like, you know, livelihood vibe. And I think people like that. And I think that's the comfort level. And you know, to harp and piggyback on what Jennifer and Brennan just said about the closing experience is when you put up that video that you did with the recent closing we did.
It was a hell of a video.
It was a great video, but I had agents reach out to me and said, that looks killer. I love that. I need to close there. You know, I want to take videos with you guys. And then my first response is like, well, send some closings my way, you know, and then you'll be able to get that video and you'll be able to get that
picture.
But
one question, where's my commission off of that?
It's coming, son. It'll be in the mail.
So after we're 4%. Done, I'll go ahead and give you my dates.
Yes.
Yeah, we got
some. D-roll, baby.
Jennifer, we got some closings coming up.
We do. We have three, so I'll make sure I give you the dates so you can be there.
I would love to.
That'd be awesome. That'd be fun.
If we have to close early, is it ever too early for like champagne? Or
it's never too early. Okay. It's never too early. 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m. I'm not going to judge you. You know, we'll get some orange juice, have some champagne, we'll make some mimosas.
Oh, great.
Yes. You know?
See, that's why people want to close with you.
I'm not sure if we talked about student loans and how those affect.
Yeah.
Briefly. Mm-hmm. We could talk about it more.
Well, and I think with student loans, kind of going back to that, I mean, those are a mortgage, if not sometimes mm-hmm. more than a mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, do I want two mortgages? Just starting out.
Right. I mean, do I want to add, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
six figures worth of debt. I mean, that's no joke. Mm-hmm.
This is almost a conversation where we could bring in a loan officer and he could mm-hmm. go into getting a 30-year mortgage, getting some PMI, and then 2 years later refining and putting everything together into mm-hmm. one giant mortgage and things of that sort. But I think the fact that somebody has a student loan is a deterrent factor from the get-go. They just don't even want to think about it. I can't get a house. I have $200,000 in student loans. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Not happening. Yeah. But
just like that.
Can.
Yeah.
It can.
So good. They say it just like that.
Yeah, but that is something they should consider because it really can happen. You just need to talk to a mortgage person about how to make it happen.
Now, who in this room knows a mortgage person?
We don't know any. Not a one.
Brent, you would be a good mortgage person.
I could do it all.
You could do it.
There's not much in this world I can't do, except maybe neurosurgery. Even that I probably could do.
Isn't it?
It's because he's an actor. That's so right. He can act in every...
You're saying I'm inauthentic? I am all about authenticity.
I love that.
It's like, Brendan, you are fake.
Yes.
Just not
shots
feeling it
taken.
Now.
Yeah, just feeling it. A little bit more.
It's okay. Wyatt can do it the same. He's got that acting degree as well.
That's right.
I guess I better play nice since you're the one that took the pictures and the video earlier.
Make that's true. I'm gonna pick the worst one.
Oh,
I'm even throw them into Photoshop. Like you're gonna be like, whoa.
To blur our faces and just have his face staring at the camera.
I'm gonna crop everybody out.
Very awesome, guys. Is there anything else that we haven't thought about that millennial buyers and anyone interested in helping them might want to know?
Yeah. Is there one piece of advice that you guys would give them?
I would say, personally, I'd say start asking the questions early.
Okay.
Contact your realtor that you see every day on your Instagram, Jennifer. And then get a great team. Brad.
Cough, cough.
Yeah.
Quick question, though. And I know home buyers probably feel this. Mm-hmm. Is it ever too early to reach out to a realtor? Because I could see home buyers being like, you know, I'm thinking about it, but I don't want to bother a realtor and get their hopes up. And then all of a sudden they're bothering me all the time. And then I'm not ready. Like, is it ever too early to open that line of communication?
I am so glad you asked that because Wyatt and I had this conversation the other day. Mm-hmm. It is never too early because if they can't help you now, at least you know where you stand and you can, they can always help you in the future. But they can get you to the right people to see what you need to do to get that house down the road. So if it's too early to look, still get with your realtor. It's just, they have the connections to make sure you know the steps to take to move forward and get to your dream
home. Yeah, and they can send you out, if they have an idea of what you're looking for, mm-hmm. I mean, they can not bombard you with stuff right mm-hmm. away if you're not really in the I'm ready to buy now mode, but mm-hmm. as months go by, I mean, they can casually send you places. And I think that's right. Very helpful, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, working professionals, I mean, sometimes it's enjoyable to go on the red fins and the real tracks and, mm-hmm. you know, analyze different properties and what they're selling for. Mm-hmm. But that gets time consuming. Right. And that takes a lot of energy. So mm-hmm. why not have somebody that you trust in the, you know, in your corner to do that for you week after week and just throw you a couple different ideas?
Mm-hmm. You can gather thoughts like, oh, I like that color.
One. Yeah.
And that part of town I hadn't thought about living in.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a realtor, I would never feel like you were wasting my time just by trying to get the ball rolling on buying a house. Because even if I can't help you, I appreciate you reaching out
and
we'll connect in the future.
Yeah.
So.
And it's always cool to make new friends.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Or rekindle old relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, barbecue.
Exactly.
Love barbecue.
Yeah. Because if that person, if they may not use you, they'll refer you to another friend.
There you go.
That's the name of the game. Mm-hmm. Girls, baby.
We know, as this is our career, so we know not every person we work with is going to go to close.
Yeah.
It's just part of the game.
Right.
But most will, let's be honest. Yes.
When they're with us. When they're with this team.
That's right.
Yes.
We're going all the way, baby. We're going all the way.
All the way.
Yeah.
Always be closing.
Always be closing, baby.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for
was a freaking blast. Cheers.
Yes.
Cheers.
Absolutely. That wraps up the podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Once again, this is Brendan Bald here with Brad Bald, my wonderful co-host. Here with Jennifer and Wyatt, the hosts of the Corkscrews and Contracts podcasts. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening.